You're listening to Comedy Central.
Welcome to episode 33 of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
Another week, another hangover. The life story of Anthony Jeselnik.
Here's a cookie, my droog. You at the double tree.
Mmm. Beard Brothers in the house.
Beard Brothers.
I did not like that nickname you just came up for us like a minute ago, but now I'm embracing it.
I wouldn't say it's like a nickname. It was just like if someone saw us together, they'd be like, check out this Beard Brothers. I mean, they're not related, but you can tell by the way the beards are growing that one has been an influence on the other. You know what I mean? To the point that they may as well have grown up in the same house their whole lives.
It's kind of like an Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito twin situation.
Mm-hmm.
Like the totally stiff, bigger guy and like the little guy who actually people like more.
Whoa.
I mean, no one's ever described Arnold Schwarzenegger as stiff. He's a loose guy. He's chill. I think you're more like Danny DeVito just as a whole, like as a person.
Yeah. Walked into that.
You were married to Rhea Perlman for nearly 20 years. This is a big episode for us. I am in rough shape. I went to a wedding in Chicago, got back late last night, and the wedding was fine. The wedding wasn't the worst part. It was hanging out with my brother and sister and brother-in-law, brother's girlfriend, Rochelle, as you know, all our listeners know. It was just a two-day rip 'em up, and I actually felt better yesterday and then woke up today just like wanting to die. Like I never want to drink again. I'm very excited to dry out, drink some water. I called my mom on Mother's Day, and she just kept telling me to take a nap. I was slurring and was barely getting it together. But it was fun. It was a good wedding.
I mean, I can hear it in your voice. You're definitely kind of like a low NPR like timber in your voice today. I mean, when I walked in today, you were just kind of like slouching on the couch out in the Comedy Central offices, just saying you're never going to drink again, which as a friend of yours, I've heard a few times.
Mm-hmm. But like even before, before this weekend, it had been like a week or two since I'd had a drink. It's fun. It's like after, you know, I get at it hard that when I decide
to clean it up. I feel
like
on this show last week, you were like, I'm going to stop drinking now. I just stopped drinking.
Yeah. But then, you know, I gave myself a caveat for the wedding and for hanging out with my family. But
so what is it? What is that like? The Jeselnik clan getting into it? Ashley, you, Mikey, they're getting after it.
There's two kids. You know, we got Paige. We got a little like just under 2 years old Paige, who's a holy terror, running around. Could not be cuter. Doesn't really want to have much to do with me. I had to like force myself on her. And then my nephew Liam is like 6 months old and is like the sweetest, like just most chill, smiley kid ever. They have two very easy kids.
Right, but what is the like the drink the partying with the siblings like and everything that like the what you're saying the wedding wasn't that crazy, but the next couple days with the siblings were
the wedding was fun, but I was like under control. Like I kind of like just sipped on some beers and talked. It was mostly me talking to people that I never talked to in high school, but now I'm catching up with. And then it was just like Bloody Marys, a lot of beer. My brother-in-law drinks Manhattans like throughout the day. Like it was just, we went at it hard, and I don't think we ate that much. I think we ate a little bit, but that's my kryptonite, is not eating enough.
I'm beginning to think your siblings are a bad influence on you. I don't know if Mikey's ever thought.
Yeah,
about
I think
that.
It's my sister Ashley just hadn't been able to drink with us for a while because she'd been pregnant or but just, she was like, this is my Mother's Day. I'm gonna enjoy myself, and she did. But it was a good time. But I am hurting. I'm in pain.
I guess it's time for me and you, Erica, to carry Anthony along for this show.
If this was the live podcast, this is a live taping. Maybe the energy would seep in. But yeah, how was your Mother's Day?
I mean, it was not too eventful. You know, we went to In-N-Out. You know, I tried to carry my load for the day. You know, that's the type of place Emma wants to go on Mother's Day. I mean, this sounds bad, but I don't think it's totally out of the norm, but like on Mother's Day, she generally doesn't want to be with the kids. So, you know, I just like drop her off, go shopping for 3 hours while we just mess around in libraries and public parks and shit.
I always thought that like Mother's Day was supposed to be like the kids and the mom, you know, get to, hanging out and like you kind of like you do nice things for your mom, but it's you're celebrating it with your mom. And now I've come to realize that it's like a time for moms to get the hell away from their kids.
Yeah.
And like I know a lot of people check into hotels for the day. And just stay away, let the husband take care of the kids. I know people who just kind of like let their kids outside the house and don't let them back in for 24 hours. people that like put them in the car and then leave the engine running in the garage for Mother's Day. And I kind of understand and accept all of that.
I mean, it depends how old the kids are. Our kids are 7 and 4. So, you know, every day is you're spending all your time with the kids, so it's fine to take a little break. Plus we're coming off like a kid intensive Saturday where we went to Pasadena, like went to like this little outdoor museum thing. It's just like, yeah, it's a lot. She's had enough. A little less kids.
Your wife is fed up.
No, she's not fed up, but that's the best thing you can do.
Okay, let's say someone comes to your wife and they say, I'll take one of the kids from you.
Which kid?
She gets to pick.
No, I don't think she would want to do that, like, permanently.
Can I
like,
guess
if you said for,
kid?
Like, a week. Yeah.
Can I guess which one?
Which one she would choose to be taken away?
Yeah. Okay, imagine Emeka is, like, in a Sophie's Choice situation.
Yeah.
Where the Nazis come to her and they're like, you got to pick your son or your daughter to die. You need to choose. And in Sophie's Choice, spoiler alert, she chooses her daughter to die because she feels the son has a better chance of surviving because he's a man. I feel like Emeka would go the other way.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel like Emeka would give up Walker. And with tears in her eyes.
Oh, no, no. See, I thought you were saying, no, she would give up Ellis because I think she would see that Ellis could handle herself, that she's going to be okay no matter what. She doesn't need that much more help. We've done our work. She's 7 years old. She's really got her shit together, Ellis. I mean, she was mentioning in Vulture last week. That's how big she is right now, Ellis.
So your wife would want Ellis to die.
Well, you just changed the whole circumstances here. It was she had to give one up before.
To death.
Well, she doesn't want to, neither one of them's going to die.
Okay.
She'll kill herself before making that decision.
Okay, I believe.
But if it's like giving one up and you're just going to have to trust that one of them can make their way in the world, I think she would definitely choose Ellis because she would just be worried about what would happen to Walker, whereas Ellis, she just feels like even though she would have that, you know, emptiness inside of her, she would figure things out.
I believe you. I believe that that Emeka would rather die than choose between one of her children dying. What if I throw you in the mix? If it's like she would rather you die than kill herself.
Oh yeah. No, I think she would maybe kill herself instead of me dying. I mean, she's in the list of episodes that she's mentioned that like our kids could listen to someday, and she doesn't like the thought of that. This now is going to rank pretty high. But no, she would definitely kill herself and let me take care of the kids. She does not like the idea. She's always said that she's going to die first. That I can't die early. She doesn't want that, like where she has to do that without me.
But once the kids are 18, you can go in peace. You can go and you can die.
I can die, yeah. Right.
Like she wouldn't be upset if you died before her as long as the kids are raised.
No, she still would.
What if I'm
she doesn't want to deal with that. Who's gonna like do all the little things, you know?
What if I'm in the mix? What if it's like what if I'm in there too?
I mean, you're a lot of talk.
Do you think she would take my life over yours? Or would she kill herself before she killed me?
No, you'd be dead. She wouldn't even have a second thought. What do you mean you in the mix? I mean, you're a lot of talk, and you're a great...
I like how you keep making the hand talk motion whenever you do it.
I mean, you're a great contributor to the family. You're a great godfather.
I'm a good employer.
But let's be real. On a day-to-day basis, you know, what does that mean, a good employer?
I mean, tell the people who you work for.
That is a funny story that I meant to mention that at some point. I got my first check.
Oh, you did?
So that was what I sent to you. I sent you part of it. I guess you can tell what it all was. But yeah, I got my first check from Jessel Corp this week for the podcast. And that's because, you know, there was a lot of different iterations of how we set up this whole podcast thing. But in the end, we decided like the smartest way to kind of funnel payment was actually through your production company, which is called Jessel.
My corporation. My production company is called Dark for the Sake of Being Dark, but my corporation is Jessel Corp.
So Jessel Corp is, we figured that that's actually the best way to do this, is that I would just be an employee of Jessel Corp and get paid that way. And so, yeah, I got
which
that in the mail.
I can fire Greg at any time.
Really cracks
I could fire Greg at any time. I could terminate your services.
Well, that's kind of ridiculous because we're both our names are in the title here.
Yeah, but I could change that too.
Yeah, it really the dynamics did change leaving the NFL to Comedy Central. There was no Jessel Corp at Comedy at the NFL.
No, but they also.
I mean, I find it ridiculous. You find it ridiculous.
I think it's hilarious.
It is amazing. I mean, Emeka and I really laughed about that. I don't know. There's something amazing.
Was
about
it a big? Was it a big check? So like they didn't just pay us because they basically owe us four payments over time. I didn't know if, and it's been a while. So you think you got three payments all at once?
Yeah,
great.
I did.
Okay, that's good to know.
I mean, I'm employee number fucking one.
That's not true. I have other employees on Jessel Corp. All my openers are paid by Jessel Corp, so they're kind of like on a loan out. But it's openers and then you.
It's a little, yeah. I don't like that position it puts me in, because on some level we're splitting it. We're co-hosts. I mean, I know people aren't coming here for my comedy here, but I got a lot of listeners from the Around the NFL podcast. I've got an audience out there from doing NFL for 15, 16
years.
What's
the demographic? Who listens to your podcast on the NFL Network?
What do you mean? Mostly guys, a lot of international people. What does that mean? Football fans.
I mean, if you're like Anthony, who listens to the Jessel Nick and Rosenthal Vanity Project?
Junior
VP.
Junior Vice President.
I'd say winners. Winners listen to it. And I would assume that your podcast is quite the opposite.
No.
I would think that everyone who listens to it is in some way a loser.
I mean, we got a big audience. I mean, we've got a
lot of losers out there.
Bigger audience, technically. You know,
only
than this
one. Like, not everyone can win. You know what I mean?
And Erica's like, on both podcasts, so you know she's our producer
so
over at the
she
NFL.
Sees,
what
she
would
sees
you say? What is the difference in terms of audience?
Yeah, I think they have their different strengths.
Mm-hmm. The strength of winners, and then the weakness of losers.
Hmm. I'm not hiding.
It's a fact.
I'm not hiding from being an employee of Jessel Corp. I gotta admit, I like it. I mean, I work for Roger Goodell and Anthony Jeselnik, two of the best.
Yeah, split right down the middle. I gotta get like Jessel Corp merch and make you wear it, like
I'm
hats and stuff.
Jessel jealous.
Yeah, Erica's.
How long have you been waiting to say Jessel jealous?
Since you said it like 5 seconds ago.
Luckily, we know Erica doesn't prepare anything, so that was off the top of her head. I believe her.
Actually, she does prepare a little bit. It's time for. Did we get any notes?
I went with like a spa sort of.
Yeah, it's like you thought you were going to help me. It's like kind of just like put me to sleep.
It's like, very nice selection out of your own personal library there, Erica.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Shout out to the Vulture writer who thinks that Erica is taking all of our sound clips out of her personal library, that Erica has that terrible taste in music. But really a shout out because, again, she mentioned my daughter, which is one of my favorite things that's ever happened on the internet.
How did they describe
it? It was a review of this pot of our show 2 weeks ago when your special came out, Fire in the Maternity Ward, on Netflix, how it was kind of a warm and fuzzy episode. And she mentioned how Ellis read your New York Times review, and she had to admit this shit was cute as hell.
Yeah, it was cute as hell, which is not a word. It's not something that people use to describe things I'm involved with.
Now, I know this is getting a little off topic, but that specific review of that specific episode got me thinking. Like, what are your feelings now? Of like, a lot of your fans really are being led inside to see the actual you, which is not your character on stage. Like, you know, an entire review of that episode was about how it humanizes you and how it's like cute as hell. It's like this starting to bother you that your actual life is seeping into your
world. No, I like it. I feel like it's an evolution of myself as an artist. And the way I've been describing it is like, yeah, I'm like a nice person. I'm a good person. I'm an ethical person, but I'm also holding a knife. Like I can bite your head off if I need to. That even you can humanize me all you want. You're not taking that knife away from me.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's a little disconcerting.
Right. It could be the Tamposi and Jeselnik Vanity Project as soon as if I misstep and you just cut me.
Yeah. Like if you thought, well, Anthony's cute now, let's do cute things. Let's grow the same beard as him. Let's try it. You know what I mean?
You know, to be honest, you two are probably the most important people in me growing a beard. You were strongly encouraging it, and so I went along with it.
Yeah. I want everyone to be more like me.
People are liking it.
But like I'm thinking now more about your family. Like if I had to let someone go. Like if it was like Ellis, Walker, you, Emeka, Debbie, and your dad.
Yeah.
And your brother and his wife, Carol?
Karen.
I'm killing your dad.
Well, he's starting to listen to it now. It's kind of like you mentioned, well, just the last two episodes, because I think he found out he was getting mentioned a few times. So now he's texting me about it. It really reminded me how you answered the question I had for you about your grandpa, that they all just loved getting mentioned because he was loving it.
Yeah.
He wanted to be the getaway driver. He's in for it.
Well, I hope he's enjoying the podcast while he can, because if it's in my hands, if the lives of your entire family are in my hands, he's slipping through the cracks.
Well, he's the oldest. It makes sense.
And I'm not, Debbie is immortal.
Love you, Debbie.
Shout out to Debbie. Did we get any notes? We did not get any notes, but contract negotiations are ongoing. They sent me like a big like thing of like information that I did not understand or care about. It's not the point. I don't care what our ratings are or who's listening or how many people are listening or how tough it is to get ads. All I know is that I signed up for a year of episodes, and Comedy Central's podcasting department has not improved over these 30-some weeks, 33 weeks, that I wish that they would get it together and help us, you know? This we put out a high quality product. Do you know what I mean?
I'm having a good time. I mean, our last, and the audience is growing. We love you out there. Continue, you know, do us a little favor. You know, give us the 5 stars, subscribe. Every other podcast says that every episode. Heck, unsubscribe and then resubscribe.
I don't like that.
I hear that nonsense helps.
I don't like that. That's like,
it's a game in the system.
It's underhanded.
Just give us some comments.
We don't need that. We're good enough.
We don't need to. We've got a big audience and it's growing, and that's what podcasts do. They slowly grow and grow. The other one we did 3 shows a week, and we've been doing it for 6 years. It was like in year 3 after building that audience, suddenly it just went absolutely nuts. It's like that's how you grow podcasts.
Yeah, but it's like it's almost like when you say, when comedians will say, oh, thank you for supporting live comedy. I hate that. Mm. I will tell an MC, like, do not use those words. Mm. It's not like, we're not like grateful that they're listening. We're not grateful to our listeners. You're welcome. We're giving this to you for free, and you should be nothing but beyond grateful.
And they are. I love the comments we get from our listeners. And I love the ones that heard you on Bill Simmons, and there were a few. I mean, there were many, and were saying you guys should go over to The Ringer, you know, because you talked with Bill about that, and so
he could be down.
I like that.
My agent emailed me too after listening to it, and he was like, "Oh, interesting." That's not all he said, but that's all I'm going to give you guys. So now, no notes, but negotiations ongoing. We have 6 episodes left after this. 7.
7, including the live show.
7, including the live
Cluster
show.
Clusterfest.
Clusterfest. What is it, June 22nd?
22nd. It's a Saturday.
Yeah, June 22nd. Come and see that live podcast. Might be the last one we do under the Comedy Central banner. But this podcast is going to live on. It's just where. And I know what the smart thing to do would be. But do I have faith that the network will end up doing that? I do not. And I don't blame the network. I'm not mad at the network. I am just...
Erica's getting a little nervous here.
I just think that... I think the network has not done their research podcast-wise. Bring in somebody. Bring in an expert and have them listen to my podcast, our podcast, and tell you how great it is.
Well, no one wants to hear this, but all these big media companies have struggled to adapt to podcasts. ESPN, I know a lot of people inside there, have enormous numbers, and it's taken them a decade, and they still haven't figured out the right way to do podcasts. The NFL is like a, you know, we have great audience, and they can't figure it out. But some other smaller, nimble, more podcast-focused companies, you know, podcasts with a fraction of our audience are making bank.
Let me ask you this. Do I do a podcast with ESPN?
No.
I mean,
I do a podcast with the NFL Network?
No.
You still.
All right. This is apples and oranges. All right. I am the podcast. I am the podcast industry. And that was. Did we get any notes? Now, let's take it down to a little place I like to call Erica's Corner. Erica Tamposi, our spunky little producer, last week when I set up Erica's Corner, I made some references. I made some references that kind of threw her under the bus a little bit. She had told me about a personal situation, and I made light of it. And so I understood why you bleeped it out. But the way you bleeped it out just made it sound like I was talking about doing like horrible sexual things to you. Like, I listened, I was like, there's no way I was like, I would introduce you and like talk about you in like a filthy way. But that's exactly how it sounded, the way you left things in. It was like, I bet I could get her to bleep, bleep, bleep. And I'm like, what was I even saying?
And then when
you
told me, I was like, oh.
Yeah. So if you listened to last week's podcast and you're like, what was Anthony talking about? None of your business. None of your business. But Erica is great. We'd like to give her a chance to shine on our podcast by giving her a couple minutes to do whatever she wants. Sometimes she reads a viewer email. Sometimes she plays a game. Sometimes it's good. Erica, shine for us.
All right. So today we're going to read an email from someone named Samantha B, and that's JRVP, Junior Vice President at gmail.com. A lot of people are sending me emails saying, oh, last week you said all the emails were shit. So here's a not shit email for you. A lot more shit came in.
Whenever someone's like, oh, you said shit, this give me not shit, it's usually shit.
And a lot of people email me clips of themselves doing stand-up to show you.
And you're not showing them to me?
No.
You know I love that more than anything.
I know.
No.
I'm saving them all for one. I'm just going to play a bunch of people's stand-up for you so you can critique it.
Never do that to me.
That's our 40th episode if we don't get another contract from Comedy Central.
Just play other people's stand-up.
Our 40th episode would just be me sighing into the microphone for 45 minutes.
It's not that different than some of the Rosenthal and Jeselnik Vanity Project episodes.
RJVP. It's true.
Still got it.
Actually, I was getting pretty angry. I'm a little more laid back now. You know, I'm working on a TV show for Comedy Central. I got them in my pocket. You know what I mean? I like to talk some trash, but everything's going to work out. Don't be worried. If you're like, I love Anthony Jeselnik, but I wouldn't listen to his podcast on a different non-Comedy Central network, which would be ridiculous. don't worry. Don't worry. Is Greg on the chopping block? A little bit. Because think about this, Greg. I could double my income. By firing you. I could double it with the snap of my fingers.
I mean, that's one way to look at it.
I could cancel that check from Jezel Corp and it'd just be me and Erica in here.
Oh, God.
We would have so much fun.
We would kill it.
It would be Bleep City, but it would be fun.
It's too late. I ran that thing to Chase ATM. Like, literally, I ran. I went for a run. I'm not even joking. I went for a run, stuck it in my pocket, went there. Didn't want anyone coming and taking that thing.
If I had known that check was going out, I would have made sure it bounced, just to see if you would even bring it up to me.
It has been a fun subplot of the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP,
Junior Vice President,
to see Anthony's creeping annoyance over the weeks and months that we make the same amount of money on for the podcast.
That's not true. I'm not annoyed at all. What I was annoyed
at I was actually
making way less than you because I was paying all the commission to to people that it was like, I'm not going to
make... We fixed that. That was fixed.
Yeah, everything's fixed now. Everything's totally cool. But I insisted on paying you half. I insisted from the beginning. People are like, that's really nice you're doing that. Because again, I'm the star.
Right. I mean...
You're the star's friend.
You know, we we could look at it a different way. If you're in my corner, you could be looking at it like, hey, this podcast veteran with a huge podcast audience, even bigger than, you know, the podcast audience that me and you had back at the NFL,
the podcast
is allowing... Yeah, that's me.
I'm on television.
Right, but it's not the same audience. I mean, as anyone... who's tried to put TV people on podcasts can learn, you know, can understand. It's a different medium.
I've seen the guys in your other podcast. None of them belongs on television. I'm surprised that, like...
What does that have to do with... I'm saying that building a podcast audience is different than... they've put a lot of, like, executives at places have put a lot of stars on podcasts, and they haven't necessarily done very well, where a lot of... people no one's ever heard of have huge audiences.
I'm
podcasts.
A special kind of star. I get you the saying. Best of both worlds. Am I a star? Undeniably so, yes. Am I also putting out an amazing podcast that if you didn't know who I was, you would still listen to and mm-hmm. love? Yes. I mean, guys, it's math. But this is Erica's corner. Erica, you said you're going to read an email from Samantha B.
Yeah.
Hit us with it.
Samantha B says, love the podcast. I have a potential topic for Erica's Corner, and I need some...
And I'm sorry, and this is Samantha B from, like, from the TBS show.
Yeah.
It is the comedian, Full Frontal, yeah. Samantha B. Mm-hmm. This is that person.
It must be.
Yes.
Yeah.
You verified it.
Yeah, it said SamanthaB@gmail.com, so mm-hmm. it has to be.
Has to be.
Love the podcast. I have a potential topic for Erica's Corner. I need some advice. My boyfriend and I realized the other day that he is the Anthony and I am the Greg of our relationship. How do I cope with this? Is there anything I can do, or is it a lost cause?
It's a lost cause. Listen, if you're in a heterosexual relationship, Anthony's the man and Greg is the woman.
What kind of direction is this show taking right now?
That we're trying to give advice to people, to our fans. You know, our fans reached out to Erica and wanted to know. I don't think there's anything you can do. You know, you're either born like me or you're born like Greg. You know, slight anatomical differences, but Greg is the girl. And if you're a girl, you got to live your life like Greg. I don't think there's anything you can
how
do.
How do I live my life?
I guess you could transition and then become more of the Anthony.
I want to know what Erica thinks this means, that the woman realized she was the Greg and he was the Anthony.
I think Anthony is a very, you know, strong, big personality, sort of the out front one. And mm-hmm. if you're the Greg of the relationship, maybe you're the one that's sort of, you know,
just happy bringing, to be there.
Bringing them back down to earth and
the one that can handle the other person.
Yeah, just keeping them even keeled. And
look,
this kind of goes back to what we were just talking about. I mean, there is no show if it's the Jeselnik and Tamposi vanity project. JTVP.
It's not. We're not doing that. I'm
because
just saying,
the show is the relationship.
Yes, you are important to the show. But listen, I'm an astronaut in space. You're in Houston typing on a computer. Talking to me through my headset sometimes. You know what I mean? That's what they're talking about. They're like, one of us is a star and the other one yeah. supports the star.
Or who is it? Samantha B.
Yeah.
Who's a pretty big star in her own right, mm-hmm. I would say, is recognizing that she's kind of like the more stable, you know, at her heart, more fulfilled, and yet successful and talented too. Person in the end in the relationship.
I just think that, like, the second you die, you'll be forgotten. You know what I mean? By everyone outside of your family, of your immediate family. Whereas right. I will live forever through my art. No one's going to be like, hey, let's go back in time and listen to those, listen to Greg's hot takes on the NFL offseason.
Maybe they'll be like, hey, let's go look back at his week 15 quarterback rankings from 2016. I love when he put Andy Dalton at number 9. Could happen.
I still like that from last week we talked about the guy who like, you've got your name on a bunch of bylines with deplorable opinions about Dave Meggett.
Who's still tweeting about it. He's still, like, tweeting people like, yeah, I'm surprised he doesn't know who I am. like his Twitter.
Wait, the comedian said he's surprised I don't know who he is?
Yeah.
I've never been, like, it doesn't even sound familiar. There are comics you could name that I'd be like, oh, I don't know them, but I've heard of them. It must be legit. This guy.
Hmm.
Are you just trying to start beef?
No, I'm not.
So what you were saying though before is like when you die, you're looking to have like as many people as possible have sort of like a surface appreciation of like whatever that guy did versus actually like making a meaningful impact in people's lives that you know.
I'm saying when I die, flags at half mast.
Right.
All right. When you die, they might not even do an obituary for you.
Who's they?
Your family. Like the newspaper might be like, there's been a lot going on. We don't really have room for it today.
I mean, if it was right now, yeah, I don't think I'm getting an obit in the LA Times.
How many,
like
how many
local
people,
papers are gone?
How many people come to your funeral, do you think?
I don't know.
Let's say you die on the way home today.
Depends where I died, because if it's like a
destination
funeral.
If it's a
destination funeral, it's kind of a lot to ask in LA to get. Well, if it was now, I was just thinking about this a lot this week, actually. If you die young or medium young, you get remembered. You get celebrations. You get people. If you're Doris Day, who died this week, like a Hollywood legend, died at 99, no one gives a fuck.
Mm-hmm.
Like when, who else died this week? Tim Conway.
Tim Conway.
Tim Conway died at 42. They would have stopped the country for Tim Conway. Now he dies and it's like a little, it's like a 2 minutes on Twitter.
I think about it all the time in terms of like legacy of like, oh, if I died right now after the fireman and the maternity award comes out, I bet that special wins all the awards. And I'm like, imagine what his potential could have been if he had kept going. Mm. He would have been so amazing. But if I live,
I think it's more like a
keep putting stuff out, then it doesn't matter.
Mm. I think you can get some awards. Nominate him at least.
It's almost good to die young.
Like Mac Miller got the nomination. They didn't give him the award.
No, but Heath Ledger, he got the award.
Yeah. So, well, it depends. Like, but wouldn't you rather, but here's the thing. You would rather, it's interesting, you would rather almost have the legacy, have the memory, have the people talking about your work forever. I'd rather be Doris Day and holding on to the last second. You know, people aren't talking about her now. You know who doesn't know about that? Doris Day. Like,
yeah, no,
she got she got to enjoy and be alive a lot longer and do her little Doris Day stuff in her 70s, 80s, and 90s, hanging on. That's what I'm going to do. Walker and Ellis are going to be taking care of me. Visiting me, being like, man, you're really hanging on way past Emeka.
No, I think the most relieved my therapist has ever been in her entire life was when she asked me if I would rather be like famous now and then the second I die, I'm forgotten forever. Or would I rather be like toil in obscurity and then when you die, like a Van Gogh situation, like you become like a legend. And I was like, I want to enjoy it now. I don't care once I'm dead, like my legacy is important. I try to make my jokes evergreen in a way that they'll still be funny 20 years from now. But I want to enjoy it now. When I'm gone, who cares?
Right. If you don't believe in God or don't have a strong take on that, which I don't, then right now, this is what we got. This is all that matters. I want to enjoy this.
But if there is a God and I go up to heaven, like I bet I get to cut in line. I bet I get to go right to the front and walk in because of who I am and what I've done.
Mm.
But when you die, I think you're probably waiting in line for a long time and then you get to the front and they'd be like, oh, you've been in the wrong line for a while.
You know who's like waiting patiently in line with me?
Doris Day.
Just cracking jokes. Samantha Bee.
So just to sum up, you're going to be the Greg in the relationship forever. There's nothing you can do about it. Just be lucky. Just feel good that you found an Anthony.
Right.
You found someone to be your Anthony.
I'm the Greg in the relationship. Like whether it's this podcast,
there's nothing you can do about that.
Or my marriage, I'm the happy one.
I think
be
it's
happy,
an
Samantha.
Endearing pair, and I don't think you should be ashamed to be the Greg, and I don't think that it's a bad thing to be the Greg. When you're with Greg and Anthony together.
Yes, but if it's like, but if we weren't, if we're not a package
team. That was a nice note to end on.
If Greg is like out, if Greg's out in the world without me there, useless. Do you know what I mean? Useless. But if I'm there, then the dynamic becomes something special. But I can go out and just do whatever. You know what I mean?
I mean, I've been out in the world without you.
I'm an astronaut.
Was doing fine in New York, you know?
No,
ahead of pace.
That's not what you said, Greg. Greg used to call me almost every day. Anthony, how do I do? Like, what's going on? I miss you. I'm trying to raise my child. Do you have any advice? Things like that.
And you're like, wait a second. My break had just ended at Borders. You know, I got to go.
I only worked at Borders for 3 months before I got fired. That's a cheap shot. That's a cheap shot. And as an employee of Jezel Corp, I think you should watch your mouth. I think you should. I think you should know that you're talking to the CEO of Jezel Corp and show me the respect that an astronaut deserves while you type on a computer in Houston. I love that you thought you were doing me a favor by playing this music, and it's just each time I'm like,
I'm trying to relax you.
I'm relaxed. I'm just trying to stay awake. Let's get to headlines. Greg, what's our first one?
Our first one is a great one. A former teacher in Kentucky, a gym teacher by the name of Crystal Graham, was charged with disorderly conduct after an incident in gym class where she threatened to cut off a student's dick and shove it down his throat.
During a kickball game,
I missed that important detail. The student jumped on another student's back. This was a boy who just kind of jumped on another kid's back. They were horsing around, and she yelled at him, "I will cut off your dick and shove it down your throat."
And how did this make the news? How did this get in? Like,
okay, so she got fired fairly soon after that, or she had to retire after this became public. But now she's being charged with a crime. I think one of the kids involved in the crime complained, which is kind of a weak move. That she did this. She not only said that she would cut off his dick and shove it down his throat, she did a double bird, middle finger style, double hands.
She must have been having a rough day. I mean, imagine just being in charge of a kickball game and having that thought. And then saying it out loud at a child that you were going to cut off their dick and shove it down their throat. Like,
by the way, it's a middle school. It was not a high school. It was a middle school. She was 34 years old at the time.
Yeah, that's even worse.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. The older the person, the more they can handle having their penis cut off and shoved down their throat. But when you're in the developmental age in middle school, I just don't think there's any room for it. And that's why I would never let my kid play kickball. People talk about concussions in the NFL, but when you talk about, if you look at the numbers of the people who are getting their dicks cut off and shoved down their own throats, it's all kickball. I don't know what it is about kickball, but the injury rate is sky high, and it's almost always a penis being cut off and then shoved down the throat. Just for not really respecting the game of kickball.
Wow.
If like, your middle really school teacher said to you guys when you were playing kickball, "I'm going to cut your dick off and shove it down your throat," would you say anything? Would you tell someone? Would you tell your parents? Would you?
I would give her a high five.
I would listen. First of all, if that happened to me in middle school, I would still be laughing about it right now. Like, I would think it was the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It would just delight me that I would probably tell people in like a, "You're not going to believe what happened in school today." We were playing kickball and the teacher threatened to cut off my dick and shove it down my throat. Like, why not just stop with cutting off the dick? Like, that alone is
why did she give the double bird with afterwards too? I want to know. I kind of looked at this and was just like, I don't want to sound like the old man, like, get off my lawn stuff, but how soft are we getting as a society that you can't threaten to cut a kid's dick off and shove it down their throat during a kickball game? When we were kids, people were threatening to cut off our dicks all the time.
It happened all the time. It happened. I mean, the fact that we made it into our 40s right, with our dicks intact and not down our throat, considering the amount of kickball we played as kids, I think it's stunning. I don't know how we got
it. Wasn't even just kickball, just like neighbors, whoever, they would be yelling at it all the time, but we took it because it was like a different era. But now kids, it's like, ooh, sensitive feelings, and they just go run to the teachers. It's like,
well, what if Ellis came home and was like, "Dad, I was playing kickball today and my teacher yelled at me, gave me two middle fingers, and said they'd cut my dick off and
I'd be like, "You don't even
throat.
Have a dick. That yeah. doesn't make any sense, Ellis."
Yeah. It's a hollow threat.
Right. And I told you, use your right foot and really kick through the ball, Ellis.
Mm-hmm.
I need a a massage.
Ugh. We could all use massages.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
I'll tell you who needs a massage. It's this next door.
John Wetland needs a massage. What a weirdo.
No, you skipped one. John Wetland needs a massage. I hope that comes back to haunt you.
I thought we were doing that second.
Greg really wanted, Greg would love to give John Wetland a massage. If you're listening out there and you know John.
Well, yeah,
get him in touch.
A nice tease for our final story of the day.
Because I'll tell you, I'm not going to give a massage, but I will cut off someone's penis and shove it down their throat.
I mean, you could have just let us do the John Wetland story next, but we are going to go to the wrestling ring where we have a tragic story. The Silver King, who is a former WCW wrestler who also starred as the bad guy in the 2006 comedy Nacho Libre, died while in the wrestling ring last week by an apparent heart attack, got knocked down three different times, and then just was kind of lying there on the ground, and he was 51 years old. His real name was Cesar Barón.
I like the fact that he was supposed to win the match. Like, you know, professional wrestling, I believe they are athletes. They do it. Their job is very difficult. They are totally athletes, but it is scripted. They know who's going to win in advance. And this guy was supposed to win, and the guy he's fighting is like trying to find a way to still lose the match, even though the other guy's dead. The guy, did you imagine trying to get someone who's
dead
to pin
you? Did you watch the video?
No.
Oh my God. It's the saddest thing. I mean, it is the saddest thing ever that you could find some humor in because of what you're saying. He was, the guy he was fighting with was clearly so confused and did not know what to do.
Yeah, didn't know what to do, and just couldn't find a way to get the dead guy to pin him. And you know, this is a sad story. But I think that if the Silver King was alive today, he would appreciate it. You know, I think he'd probably be like, thank you, Anthony and Greg. Mm. I'm going to cut off your dick and shove it down your throat.
I mean, a few things I learned watching this video. Well, first of all, it's really hard to roll over a dead person. I mean, like, he could not get the guy. He was trying to flip him over to eventually pin him because he realized something was wrong. But then here's where it like gets a little like tragic comedy. He celebrated the victory for so long. He went to each corner, got his own flag out, started waving it. The crowd is there. It's a pretty big crowd. He's no longer in the WCW, but wherever they were, he's waving his flag. He's celebrating, and the other wrestler is just lying there, dead in the middle of the ring for like 3 minutes. I'm beginning to think like the medical, that it's not really that safe to be a wrestler. No medical attention whatsoever being paid to the guy in the ring.
I mean, I think that's...
Did they know?
Like, I think
they didn't know
celebrate.
Yet, but he knew something was wrong. Eventually, the ref comes out and tries to take off his mask, and they realize something's wrong, and then some people come out. But the video just keeps going on and on. He's like dancing around.
But if you're a wrestler...
It's like a bad skit.
If you're a wrestler and you kill someone, I got to think it's like the top thing you can do. Do you know what I mean? Because it is fake. That, how often does it happen? You know, not that often. And it reminded me of the movie The Wrestler, which is a great movie. It
yes.
ends with him choosing to die in the ring. So maybe this is how the Silver King wanted to go out. Mm. You know, was with the guy he was fighting, waving flags around the ring, celebrating within an inch of his life while he laid there dying.
Yeah, this was in London. I mean, it was terrible. it's not a recommendation station, by the way, but The Wrestler is one of my favorite movies of all time. Everyone should
imagine
see
how
it.
Bad the guy felt when he found out he was dead.
Yeah.
For celebrating. I mean, that's what is truly funny to me is the guy.
Well, he didn't have an idea that the guy was dead, but he was unconscious and he couldn't for minutes, and he couldn't roll him over. I don't know what this other guy was thinking.
He's probably thinking like, I'm the Silver King now. Okay, let's get to Greg's massage buddy. Greg, what do you got for us for this last story?
John Wetland is back in the news. Had a brief cameo in a previous episode of the Jessel Nick and Rosenthal Vanity Project.
JRVP.
Junior Vice President.
He entered a not guilty plea for sexually assaulting a little boy and his family. His attorney said he was innocent. John Wetteland is a former World Series MVP with the New York Yankees. Was an all-star for a few.
He was a World Series MVP?
I know. I didn't remember that. Against the Braves, I think he saved like three of the four games. And yeah, they gave him the MVP in 1996.
And he abused a little boy?
Sexually assaulted a boy and his family.
Now, was it serious or was it just like a cut off the dick and shove it down his throat situation? Like, was it like, was John Wetteland a kickball coach? Because that could change things. What's he looking at? What's Wetteland looking at crime-wise?
I mean, it's a felony.
And why do you have this look on your face while you're reading the stories if you didn't know it was coming? Yeah, is it about child molestation? Yes.
Well, yeah, what am I supposed to say
about it? But MVP level.
Right.
World Series MVP level.
I mean, his attorney is saying he's not guilty. They're fighting the charges vehemently. He went in for a mugshot with a white terry cloth turtleneck on. Like, if that's not a guilty plea, I don't know what is. Like, he's like, that's a ridiculous move.
I don't follow your logic there. Are you saying it's like that's what child molesters wear?
Pretty much. Like, look at that. If I had to guess what child molesters would wear, it would be like a bathrobe-y white turtleneck type of thing.
Like a black.
He certainly looks like a child molester. But I
he's
like
wearing like a sweater like another shirt, like a very much like your grandpa who's wanting, you know, to, you know, come on over here.
But this picture makes him look innocent. Like he's like holding up, like he's like, I'll molest five kids.
He had his hands up in the air.
Yeah.
I think they should. Away. You know how they like go revoke NCAA tournament wins or like
take your Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, like the USC, they had to take away the football team's championships because of Reggie Bush and Pete Carroll. Mm-hmm. They should take away the Yankees World Series because of John Wetteland.
I don't know. I think they should bring the Silver King back to life. if you could do anything like that, you know, why not bring him back to the land of the living? If your wife could choose between me and the Silver King, who would she pick?
To live or to...
To live.
She would want you to live.
She'd want me to live?
She'd want the Silver King, like, pinning down John Wetteland in hell.
What if I live or I die, and if I die, John Wetteland gets custody of your children? But if I live... Wait. No. If I live, John Wetteland gets custody, or she can kill me and keep John Wetteland away from her kids. What do you think she does?
Oh, you're gone.
You think
how
I'm
is
dead?
That hard? That's not a hard one. Or she gives her kids over to a child molester?
Alleged. You think she's...
I'm convicting him.
What would you do to
right
him?
Now?
What would you do to him? If you could get in a room alone for 5 minutes with John Wilton, what would you do? Because I know what I'd do.
I'd go hire that guy who killed the Silver King and let him go after him.
I'd do it myself. I cut his dick off. Stick it down his throat. I think I would just tell him, I'd be like, John, what?
Hey, I'm gonna play some kickball?
I'd be like, John, I'm going to cut your dick off. And then I would save the stuffing it down his throat. You know what I mean? I would wait. So that it was like, oh, here's like a bonus thing. I bet if you get your dick cut off, I bet you'd scream. Like, I bet it would be hard yeah. to keep your mouth shut.
Yeah.
Then you just cut it off. And then while they're screaming, you and I don't know if you place it in there. Or you just like shove it down the throat, or would you try to just throw it?
You gotta shove it. You can't, you know, you can't fit it if you throw it. You probably gotta finesse it. I would assume.
Yeah, you gotta shove that thing.
I think throwing it as hard as you can and trying to get it in their mouth would be really funny.
That would be fun. I mean, that would be like a whole different game. I can already hear next week's "Did You Get Any Notes?" which is my mom going like, "I liked last week's episode, but it was a lot of dick going down the throat."
Yeah. Talk. My mom may not comment on this week's episode, which is when it's particularly vile. And she was a big Silver King fan. You know, I don't think she's going to like us making fun of his death. She was, my mom, of course, loved the movie Nacho Libre and professional wrestling, WCW. She wasn't a WWE person, but she was WCW for life.
Yeah.
So John Wetteland, keep your crotch covered. Because the Jeselnik and Rosenthal Vanity Project, Chair VP,
Junior Vice President,
we're coming for you, and we only do two things. We cut off dicks and we stick them down throats. Now let's take it down too.
Choo choo.
Recommendation station. Greg, you want to go first? Or you want me to go
first? Yeah, I'll go first. I heard FKA Twigs' new song, Cellophane, the other night.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of her? You know,
I know who she is. I don't know the song.
And like within 30 seconds, all I could think was like, how come no one else has told me about this song? How come everyone is not talking about this song? How come everyone is like honking about like unearned character development in like a show about dragons when this song is going on? It knocked me out. And it was before I saw the video, which is a whole nother knockout.
Slow song, fast
song. Hot as hell and just like amazing what she does. But I heard the song first. It's a slow song. I know you're not even gonna like it. I know not everyone's looking for some like down tempo, like incredibly emotional, like 3-minute song, like when you're with your friends. But if you're in your house and you put this on and you don't like it, fuck you.
And what's the song
called
again?
That's what I say. Cellophane. And
it's
a single.
It's a single.
It's a single, and she did this whole video, like she's been doing these shows around. I never really knew her that much before. She's been doing these shows around that involve like kind of visual dance and all this stuff. And she.
You mean a concert?
It is, but it's more of like a performance art where she's a professional. I mean, she's an amazing dancer. Yes, but some of it she's not even singing. It doesn't even matter. My point is, if you know what it kind of reminds me of is when Kanye West came out with Runaway, and it almost reminds me a little bit of that song. And when I heard that song, I was like, in that video, I was like, holy shit, what is the rest of this album going to be like? And so that's, I'm primed for whatever this album.
And with like that Runaway still holds up. I'll check out that song and maybe I'll enjoy it. I am I'm also going music this week, new hip hop album. People who've listened to the podcast a lot know that I'm a big fan of Brockhampton. I've really enjoyed all their albums. And one of their members, a guy named Kevin Abstract, put out an album a couple weeks ago called Arizona Baby.
Mm.
That I've been a big fan. I've been listening to that. And I'm still bumping Your Old Droog like crazy. The new Your Old Droog album is his best yet. Definitely check that out if you have not yet. But also Kevin Abstract, Arizona Baby, is a fantastic album. Erica, do you want to recommend something?
Yeah, I finished a book, and it's not You Are a Badass. I haven't finished that one yet. But I read several short sentences about writing, and it's by this guy or girl, but I'm assuming it's a guy, Verlin Klinkenborg.
Why did you say that like a question? Like I was going to be like, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, Vor Klinkenborg. Everyone loves him. What's a place?
It's a really interesting book, and the reason why it's interesting is the way it's written. It's almost written like a poem, and it's supposed to be about how it's all about how to write in short sentences that convey sort of the same meanings but short. And the way that it's laid out, sometimes he doesn't put periods or commas, and then there's two lines under it. So it definitely took me a really long time to sort of digest it because of the way it was written. It's not written how normal books are written, and it's supposed to just sort of, you know.
But the short sentences help you out.
Right? Yeah, because then I don't have to spend as much time.
So you read a book about brevity and then took that long to describe it.
Yes, I did.
Okay. I like books about writing.
This looks
interesting.
It was good. It was really good.
Sometimes.
And it was
I'm looking at it.
It's interesting. It's a quick read, but it takes you a minute to sort of figure out how to, you know, get into a rhythm.
You think it would take me a minute?
Right. It took you a minute. Like
you're not gonna like it either the way it's written. It's not an easy read as in
yeah,
you
but
just
we've,
scan
we've
down the
We've put
page.
On miles. We are marathon runners. In terms of reading, and I'm not like blaming you, you're younger, this and that.
I've never seen a book written in this type of way, and that's what I'm saying. It's not that I have trouble with the words or anything.
I believe
like that,
that don't, but I think that we could handle it.
Oh, of course,
you know
should.
I mean? It wouldn't be
of
like,
of course, you could.
It
I
wouldn't
would
be quite the shock to the system to be like, oh, he left out a period.
No, I would be interested to know if it took you guys, like, if you liked it or because it threw me off for a while and I wasn't sure how I felt about it, but I really did enjoy it.
I don't read books about writing, I just write.
Books about reading.
No, I've never done that. There was a book
You've
about reading.
You've read books about writing. Let's not be too big of a tough guy. Stephen King on writing. I bet you read that.
Yeah, that's true.
Look at that. That was just a guess.
Fuck. All right. Well, that was
Choo Choo
Recommendation Station. Now, I don't know if you guys have been following Greg Rosenthal physically. If you've seen him on the NFL Network, online, follow him on Twitter. You see the YouTube videos. Greg's been growing a beard. Greg's been getting his Jesselnik on, getting some facial hair. And it's looking better and better every week, I think. So now that Greg and I'm going to go ahead and say we're Beard Brothers.
Beard Brothers.
Beard Brothers and Beard Brothers do the sign off together. So now, Greg, let's.
Whoa, Nelly Furtado.
That's a spicy meatball.
Why'd you make that face?
This has been a Comedy Central podcast.